I'm working off my laptop today, and I usually have a huge screen, so this is kind of a stretch for me because it's all so small. Anyway, this is contract trust call number 153. Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, November 12th, 2022. Welcome to our contract trust conference call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from a professional in that field. Thanks for joining us today. We are Indicator Information Institute. My name is Carol Worlius, and my partner Jim Knox and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, indicatorinformation.com, indicator-calls.com, and iiicalls.com. Some of our older calls are still on YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected exchange, again, how long have I been saying this? We thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think it is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. Star 6 to raise your hand. And, folks, we are happy to answer your trust questions, and that's why we're here. Many of you ask about the actual exchange and whatnot and what to expect. That is not our area of expertise. We can only relate to what we've heard or read and of our opinion of what to expect. So we have been talking to you about contract trust and common law for a long time now. The trust that we use is based on the Massachusetts Business Trust. When looking it up in the law library, you find it in the boy, B as in boy section, not in the T section with all the other trusts. It is a unique entity that is not a grantor trust, nor is it revocable. Is based on the law of contracts. We, as Americans, are guaranteed the right to contract by our Constitution. Most of us have heard that the RV will usher in a new era politically. Nocera and Decera appear to be on the horizon, along with the resurgence of common law and the restoration of our republic. Most of the statutory trusts and laws may be changed to reflect that. Many laws will be phased out rapidly, and all contracts will be amended accordingly. Our contract trust is common law, and it's not going anywhere. I know many of you have researched asset protection vehicles for yourselves in the hope for revaluation of the dinar and other foreign currency. Most of you have heard about the many statutory trusts, contract trusts, LLCs, corporations, and other statutory entities that are out there. While the trust we prepare is technically a business trust, we have opted to drop the word business and call it a contract trust. The addition of the word business has led to much confusion, especially among bankers. They see business and expect you to have proper documentation from the state. Regardless of whatever information we may give them in this regard, their legal departments have become watchdogs to make sure no one is involved in any fraudulent activity. The business of this trust is estate planning and asset protection. The character of the trust organization is described in the contract and declaration of trust as follows. It is expressly declared that this common law trust organization, also known as a common law contract trust organization, also known as a common law organization, business trust, pure trust organization, contract trust organization, or unincorporated business corporation, not a partnership, joint stock company, or any other form of association or statutory trust, is a non-grantor, irrevocable, non-associated trust, which lacks the preponderance of corporate characteristics and is hereby created by contract as a separate lawful entity. And that is quite a mouthful, isn't it? Now that we have that out of the way, let's discuss why we think the contract trust is your best vehicle to protect your assets. The advantages are many, but for most people, the single biggest feature is that you can become the trustee. Quite simply, there's no one between you and your money. The trust does not rely on any state laws or regulations for its power or authority. The trust organization is a contract in trust format. It derives its legality and lawfulness from Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution, which preserves and protects the unalienable rights of all Americans to enter into the contract. This irrevocable trust owns its assets in fee simple, meaning 100% of the asset, that is managed by one or more trustees. The assets of the trust will never be subject to probate or inheritance in estate taxes. The assets of the trust are protected from third-party creditors who may have an issue with you personally. Because it is not registered in any state, your privacy and anonymity are pretty much guaranteed. Okay. So the trust is a contract, as I mentioned. Since we can't contract with ourselves, we use a third party called a curator. The curator can be anyone you choose, your adult child, your brother-in-law, a trusted coworker. The curator temporarily takes title to your assets and exchanges them into the contract trust. Your currency gets into the trust by this initial exchange. This, of course, is all on paper. The curator doesn't need to know how much of anything you're exchanging into the trust. As it's an exchange, you need to get something back, right? So the curator gives you $21 and 100 trust certificate units. The curator's last task is to appoint a first trustee. While he or she can appoint anyone they choose, the typical and most logical appointee for trustee is you, the original investor exchanger. Let's face it, if you were smart enough to buy all that currency, wouldn't you be the most logical choice to continue to manage it? After the appointment of the first trustee, the curator exits the contract trust with absolutely no further responsibility, duties, authority, or liability regarding this trust organization. The trust can operate with a single trustee. In the case of a married couple, one spouse typically appoints the other as co-trustee, but they don't have to, they don't want to. You must name a successor trustee. Most people choose one or more adult children to be their successor trustee. Successor trustees simply take over the management of the contract trust when you and your co-trustee die. If your children are minors, you need to name an interim successor trustee to work in their stead until they come of age. Many of us will be creating generational wealth when the RV occurs. While you can't rule from the grave, you can specify that all future trustees be a part of your bloodline to be proven by a DNA test. For instance, you could name your daughter as your successor trustee, and she can name her children, but not her husband. We add a spendthrift clause so that no future trustee, successor trustee, or certificate holder shall have any right to alienate, encumber, or hypothecate any interest in the trust, thus further protecting it from possible future reckless behavior or management. Once you have completed a short online application, we will obtain an EIN for the trust and create the trust with your personal information. The trust you receive from us is totally personalized for you. And every line that needs a signature has your name on it and is flagged by a sticky note to make it easier for you and the curator to navigate. There are several ways to get money out of the trust. As trustee, you are entitled to a salary. While at this point in time it may be taxable to you, we think it's a good idea. You can take as much or as little as you determine you need. If you find you can't make it on 10 grand a month, give yourself a raise. You're also entitled to a share of a distribution, much like a stock dividend, if you, the trustee, decides to make one. Again, that may be taxable income. And let the trust pay for your business expenses. You will have office expense, automobile expenses, professional assistance as well. If you're planning a trip, make it a business trip so you can write off most of the expenses. Likewise with a golf or tennis membership. You need to expand your circle of potential business offers, right? Suppose you were thinking about buying property in Europe. Why not make a working vacation? Talk to realtors, pick up business cards, etc. I'm sure you'll meet a lot of business contacts on the golf course, tennis court, marina, etc. Maybe the trust contribute to the cost of those memberships. Well, I wouldn't try to write off the cost of everything. This is certainly a good way to pay for those expenses. The trust can also pay for most of your insurance needs. While you can also borrow money for big-ticket items like real estate, new cars, you must make payments, even if it's just a nominal amount of interest. A better method is to have your mother-in-law trust create and fund additional trusts to purchase that new house or fancy car. That way, the new trust owns the asset from day one and is not a taxable event, and you don't have to make payments. We understand that you may be concerned with paperwork necessary to keep your trust up to date, so we have created our members-only website, indicatorinformation.com, to guide you. The biggest thing to remember with any asset protection program is own nothing and control everything. Do not commingle the trust money with your money. That is a big no-no. You also need to write periodic minutes to reflect your actions and give your future trustees a history of what you have been done, what you've done with the trust. And, you know, folks, we suggest at the very least you write an end-of-year minute. Even if you say the trust didn't do anything, at least there's something there that you were paying attention. In the future, everything you sign as a trustee should state as trustee only and not otherwise. So a lot of you are asking, well, do I need more than one trust? All you really need right now is a motherlode trust. You may wish to consider additional trusts for future purchases and endeavors. You may have heard that we will need separate accounts for whatever currency we exchange. The key word here is account. You can open multiple accounts under the same trust. You may also want to check out a triple play, which includes a power of will, durable power of attorney, and healthcare directive. Yeah, Jim and I will be around for about 6 months post-RV to assist you with your trust needs. We'll both be taking a few weeks off immediately post-RV to attend our own business. We understand that you may be anticipating purchasing some property or vehicles during that time, so we're offering an abstract of trust to our current clients to assist you in closing those deals. The application is on our website, 3itrustgap.com, and costs $200, and it is available to existing clients only. So, Jim, now that I've rambled on for a little bit, what would you like to talk about today?
Well, it's a sunny day here in Oregon. That's a start. It's cold, very, very cold. What I'd like to talk about is emails. I'm getting way too many emails. People ask me questions and how to do this and how to do that. And I get about 100 emails a day, and I have a program that helps me go through them, but still way too many emails. I'm right here. I'm on 3i Trust app, and I'm modifying the change request form. Now it says, what type of changes are you requesting? Certificate of Beneficial Interest Change, Successor Trustee Change Minute, Contract Between Motherlode Trust and Other Trusts, Copy the Abstract, Changes on the Abstract, Change My Email Address on the Conference Call Notifications, and Other. Folks, you got to start filling that thing out. Now, here's why. We're going to have a team of people working with us shortly, and I can't expect them to be going into my email to try and find things. That doesn't work. When you submit something to us through 3i Trust app, both Carol and I get a copy of it just within seconds. It also goes into, we'll go into a third position on our new computer system in Clearwater when I get there. So anybody that's working for us can pull up that and handle the change for you. We are implementing a change in the company in as much as we now have III support system. It will cost you. We cannot continue to carry everything financially like we've been doing. So when you want these changes stuff, it takes away from other things that we're trying to do. So we're going to be able to offer this service. This will be post-RV. So we're going to be busy putting out hundreds of trusts as soon as we get back after our exchange. You're going to have to work with us on this. If you want some changes in your existing trust, you've got to fill out the form. Now, at that point, after that, we're going to charge. And right now we're looking at $95 an hour, which is a pretty good deal compared to what an attorney would charge. And that will be coming available. It is on the website, and I've got some information on there. And on the notification, I send out Dear Client Letter. This is going to be the new Dear Client Letter that we're going to be putting out. And we're emphasizing that the website is for your education, and we need you to start participating in this. Read your trust again. Read it once a month. And then go onto the website and start learning more things right on the website. I'm adding more and more stuff to it. I added some more minutes to it this last week. And I'm emphasizing this because you need to get active with this. We have everything you need to be able to load the fonts and a template of the minutes with all of the sizes and everything's there. So your minute that you create on your computer will be identical to the minute that you have, the one preceding that we created, because you have everything there. You have the type of font, size of the font, You have everything there. And there's instructions on how to get where to get the fonts, how to load the fonts into your computer. If you don't know how to do it, get your grandkids to come over and do it. You know? Oh, we want you to start participating in this. Because as time goes on, remember, it's just Carol and I. And then we do have some worker bees from time to time. We can't do all of this in a timely fashion. We'll get it done, but it won't be in a timely fashion. We need you to start participating. So don't email me. Use the forms. And then, Carol, we were going to talk about the stock certificates for a corporation versus the benefits of beneficial agent certificates that we have. You want to grab that real quick while I make a couple of deals here? Talk about that.
Well, okay. Most of you are familiar with stock dividends. Or you buy into a corporation, you get shares. The end of the year, the corporation decides they are going to pay a dividend. The certificates that we have are a little different. We only pay out on these when you as a trustee decides to make a distribution. So it's, okay, X amount, we've got X amount of money in this trust, maybe we should make a distribution. So it's distributed on a pro rata share. When you buy your trust from us, you are issued two certificates of 50 units each. One for yourself, one for your spouse is usually the way it goes. Even if there's only one of you, there's still two certificates. When you pass, it is up to your successor trustee to void your certificate as it becomes null and void upon your death and create a new certificate for themselves. It's not a big deal, which is the reason we give you a template for the certificate on blank paper. All you need to do is fill it out. You now, if you want to, or your successors can fill out whatever amount they want to, they need to, that they think is prudent. Right now, they said they're 50-50. If you don't want to, let's say you and your wife passes away, you have 100, so you got another 50 to do something with. You can take them all yourself, or you can distribute them to your successor trustees then. So you've got 50, your son has 25, and your daughter has 25, whatever combination you like. I have a client that has done this way ahead of time because she's got a very large family, and she put all this together with this one gets this one, this one gets this one, this one gets this one, and the way she put it together, they're all different amounts. Jim, is that you making that noise?
Not that I know of.
Okay, I just heard something. Anyway, how much further do you want me going in?
That's fine. Now, the next thing I want to take, and I'm glad you got that part done. The next part I want to talk about is the private versus, shall we say, public. See, when you have a corporation or something that the state or the federal can control, they can control what you do with it, they can control how you do it, they can control how much you have to report. In some certain circumstances, if you don't have your minutes done and the current with a corporation, they will come after you and get you. With a trust, it's totally private. They have no dog in that fight. They didn't give you permission to exist. They didn't give you. They didn't give us permission to create your trust. We created it for you. There's no permissions needed. It's a contract. We have the right to contract. So when you're dealing with corporations, LLCs, so on and so forth, remember, the government has their hand in the middle of that. They control that. And if they don't like what you're doing, they can fine you, they can sanction you, they can probably put you in jail. So we're trying to get emphasized to people that what we have is superior to anything else that's out there. Track record proves it. So be careful when you have these corporations you're trying to do things, because they will bite you in the butt, and they control them. With us, we don't have to register the trust with anybody. So except for if you want an EI number, we simply notify the Internal Revenue Service that a business trust, irrevocable business trust, has been created, and we get the EI number for you. Other than that, you know, you don't need to worry about the government. And in addition to that, you don't have the trust notarized. The only thing that's notarized is the replacement of something that has to be notarized in the trust, and that is your signature. It's simply a notarization saying that the notary verified that you, in fact, were the person that signed on the trust, but the trust is not notarized. It's not drug into statutory law. Just the notarization is saying that somebody saw you sign it and verified that you are who you said you are, and that's it. So the form has been changed. It's up and live. I've got the III support system page started. We got new minutes on the website. We just did some more for change of trustees. Oh, there was a name change. Gentleman married the successor trustee. So, or the co-trustee, married the co-trustee. So we had to do a name change. And I didn't do the thing for him. I sent him all the stuff so he could do it. And that's what I'm going to start doing from now on. If you want something done, I'll send you an email explaining how you do. You go and put it together. You do it. So I don't know if that annoyed him or not. That was not my intention. But we're trying to get our time back, because when this thing hits, we'll be very busy trying to get additional trust out for everybody as fast as we can. Now, as you know, I'm still in Oregon. I will be moving immediately to Clearwater to get this thing started. I will probably exchange here, jump on a jet, and come right on out there. I'm already starting to pack things up. This weekend's a big weekend for me. I'm packing things up, separating things out, putting the stuff in storage here, and getting things ready to ship there. And when we get an announcement and I make my exchange, I will come back to the house. I'll grab all those boxes, and they'll be sent to our mail drop in Florida in advance of my arrival. I'll be leaving here with both of my computers, all three of my computers, and my extra hard drives in my luggage. And they'll travel with me. And I'm not worried about the...
Very good plan.
I'm not worried about TSA, because the way I'm going, there is no TSA. It's called 1-800, send me a jet and take my butt to Florida. So that's how I'm going to get there. I'm going to splurge and charter for this one time. But I'll have the cash to do it, and I just don't want to deal with all that stuff. So, again, folks, try and keep the emails to me to a minimum. I know people send me emails constantly, ask me one question here, one question there. I got one the other day, emailed me, says, did I miss the RV? No.
No.
I didn't respond to that one. No. It's pretty obvious. So that's my pet peeve for the week, is we got to get everybody to start learning how to do this. Because once you learn how to do this, it's not hard. You just copy, paste, put it into your computer, then you print it out, you change the things you need to change, like the names here and there, and you print it out, you sign it, you put it in your binder. And that way, with all of these minutes, we're going to have literally hundreds of minutes. We have hundreds of minutes available. There's nothing you can't do with your trust. So we're working on it. But I'm a one dog show over here. I mean, it's just me doing all the website stuff and doing all this work. So we need to streamline it. What else do we want to talk about, Carol?
Well, we could open up for Q&A. Until we get some questions here, we can fill it in a little bit. Okay, I think I'm at the right page here. I'm still having problems getting used to the changes in this website. But in the meantime, although I said we really don't want to entertain questions about the exchange, but I said we can give you our opinion of what we've heard. There does seem to be a lot of confusion regarding the actual exchange. From what we understand, there will be special exchange centers all over the country set up specifically for those of us in Tier B, the so-called Internet group. If you are on this call, you are in 4B. If you bought your currency from an authorized dealer, you will probably get an email from Wells Fargo advising you of the SafeLink website to set your appointment. Don't be alarmed if you don't get the email. Several of the girls will be posting the SafeLink website when they get it. We'll send a black email saying the eagle has landed with links to the above pages that I just talked about. And from what we've read, the exchange centers will also offer higher rates than the banks. And it just seems to both of us it would be the safest and most logical way to go. You know, some people are still talking about going to their local bank to exchange, and there are obviously lots of drawbacks to this. You will be dealing with people in your own community. Do you really want anyone to know you suddenly deposited millions of dollars? I don't think so. Also, the rates offered by the banks are said to be substantially lower. When we are through with exchange, we are all going to be what they refer to as ultra-high net worth individuals. We will not be dealing with banks at the retail level or at the teller level. We will all be dealing more than likely with trust management companies and wealth managers. So the days of just walking into the bank and, you know, writing a check for $1,000 are over. We all need to get out of that mentality of the retail bank, because that's not where we're going to be. Most likely you'll be told what to bring to your appointment. At the very least, you will need valid ID, a couple pieces, proof of address, where they usually say two recent utility bills, but not everybody has utility bills in their name. So it could be a doctor bill, it could be your cell phone bill, it could be anything that proves, like a piece of mail delivered to your house that's not just, you know, residence. The abstract of trust that we provide for you, the tax or EIN letter, a copy of your trust, and do not offer the copy of the trust unless they ask for it. Your currencies should be neatly bundled and labeled, and each currency should have its own tally sheet, one for you to keep and one for the bank as they're going through it, so you can write down if their numbers are the same as yours. There is a form online for an exclusion to your NDA if there's somebody you absolutely have to talk to and tell them about this. But, you know, it doesn't need to be six pages long. Maybe somebody you talked to in the past about buying currency and they decided not to. If they say to you something, well, did you get all your money? Did you get the RV come through? And you say, I'm sorry, I saw an opportunity. I researched it. I took it and paid handsomely. That's all I can say. I'm under an NDA. And any bank account information, if you have it. And as you know, most of us, Jim and I have long ago given up on advising people to open up a bank account right away, because it's all going to be changed anyway. But if you did this a long time ago and it's still active, as I have one, it's still active, I'm going to bring that bank account information. So that's pretty much all I have right now, but we do have a question here, Jim. Let's see here. Okay. All right, let's see if this is going to work here. Okay, Jim. Oh, my goodness. Jay, did I just lose you? Jay was there, and what did I do? I just lost him. All right, please come back. Okay. Jim, you have anything to add while we're waiting for Jay and whoever else to come back? Oh, hold on. There he is. Okay. Jay, now you're live. What can we do for you today?
Great. Hope you're both doing great. And, I'm glad you brought up certificates, because I never quite understood it. I just know it's another way you can take money out and or distribute it. Is it just an easier mechanism than putting someone on the payroll and, you know, that sort of thing? I mean, there's just one, well, in other words, there's two things, I guess, in all the elements that I always have questions about, is that there's conceptual and then it's the mechanics underneath of that, actually how to make this happen, you know. So would it be like you just decide, okay, I'm going to distribute $100,000 and that's all it is? Like you decide, okay, we're just going to give that out and you write a check from your management trust? Is that as simple as it is or not?
Jim, don't take that? Maybe not. Well, yeah, it's pretty much it, Jay. It's very easy. As you say, you write a minute and say the trustees have decided to pay a distribution, and we're going to do $100,000. Each 50-unit certificate is going to be worth $50,000. And, I mean, for right now, well, we're all still alive and kicking as trustees and certificate holders. It's not that big of a deal. But further down the line, when there are successors involved, that's when, okay, let's say your son takes over after you pass away, and you've got a daughter and another son, but they're not trustees. You could specify ahead of time, upon my death and the voiding of my certificate, I wish the remaining certificates to be divided in this fashion. So if Jay Jr. decides he's going to make this distribution, he's going to pay himself, let's say, 33 and a third of that amount, and 33 and a third to his sister, and 33 and a third to his brother.
Right.
It's that easy. But if you also mentioned earlier paying them a paycheck. Well, if you want to hire somebody and actually have them be responsibility for some of the duties of the trust, then that would be more like a paycheck. That's how I would do that.
Right. But the certificate, in other words, I see it as being more quicker, let's say, cleaner. You just say, and you would just write a check from the business trust? Is that how it would work?
Yeah, I'd write a check. I would check from one of them, yeah, management trust, more than likely.
Yeah, whatever you call it. I think that changed one time.
Yeah, okay. I think you're right, yeah.
And you could do this once a year, or does it matter?
I think once a year is probably sufficient, but there are no hard and fast rules. However, often the trustee decides to make a distribution, and it's totally as an option. You do not have to make a distribution every year.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Take care. Bye. Yep. Okay. Raul, you're next.
Oh, hi, Carol. Hi, Jim.
How are you?
I was going to ask you, I'm doing fine. How are you guys? I'm sure you guys are fine. I hope you are, anyway.
Yes.
When this happens, I plan to give some money to it, some churches. In that case, we're just writing a check from a management trust, right, pretty much?
That's what I plan to do.
Okay. And you sign it as Raul Espinoza, trustee, and not as otherwise?
Correct.
Okay. No certificates involved in this, only in the certificate of if my brother wants to be part of the owner of the trust, then the certificate is necessary, but not to give to a church or to someone.
No.
After consulting an attorney. Okay. Well, that's it. It was an easy question. So.
Okay.
Thank you so
All
much.
Right. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Mr. Martin, how are you today? Jim? Are you muted, Jim? You already did star six. Raise your hand. I can't hear you.
There we go. I couldn't change the screen fast enough.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm responding to Jay's question and the question that was just made regarding distribution. And this is nothing more than a suggestion because I'm in the same boat as everybody else, but I do have a background in tax consulting from years back and so forth. I'll share with you what I plan to do. I plan to make it clear at the RV meeting, initial RV meeting, that I will be coordinating through my private banker and my team. My team consists of a major accounting firm like E&Y or any of the big ones. And we happen in Raleigh, North Carolina, to have a firm here that is a recognized international law firm that specializes in banking. We already have an individual that is queued up waiting to become part of the team. One of the other things that we plan to do, my business associate and I, is to hire a CEO, a qualified CEO. You can go online to How Do I Find a CEO and find the organization of CEOs, and you can go through resumes left and right and make a decision as to who you wanted to deal with. But to make them aware of the fact that you won't necessarily be making this decision as to where that money comes from. You know it's in the Motherlode Trust. You're going to have other trusts set up as a management trust, maybe a charitable giving trust, whatever. Your team will be able to help you determine the best way to flow the funds from the Motherlode Trust to the appropriate trust, and they take care of writing the checks. I don't know that as a trustee, if you want to remain anonymous, you don't sign the checks. You have your team and insulate you from that function. And in doing so, you maintain your autonomy, your anonymity, but yet you're able through your team to get the funds to flow from your mother lode trust to the appropriate sub-trust that you have set up, and then distributed properly, all in accordance with the rules, the regulations, and the law.
Well, that's great, Jim. Thank you.
You're
hey,
welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Jim. I had you clicked off for some reason. Now I can't get back to the page. At least you're there.
Yeah. Jim, that was excellent. I'll have to listen to the recording because I had to log off and redial in, so I missed part of that. So let me ask you this, Jim. Did you talk about the present secretary and treasurer of the trust?
No, I didn't. What I said, Jim, was that I intend to make the
okay,
go ahead.
Hold on. All right, so from again, I'll have to listen to it. You're a sage man, there's no doubt about that. But since I didn't hear it, remember, in your trust, it allows you to hire a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer. We would emphasize hiring one of that type of a person to record your real estate. When you want to put it into a trust, you got to go down and record it. Use one of them, not your name. Same thing with cutting checks. You can hire somebody to do just that. It could be called the vice president, and you could be your accountant, for all we know.
It could be your accounting firm, but Jim, one of the things that I mentioned that you didn't hear apparently was that my business partner here in town and I plan to hire a CEO. They're qualified people that are CEOs, have experience as CEOs, and are members of national organizations. Go online, find a number of those folks, go through their vitas, and make a decision. But by working with the team, they would be able to determine the best flow from the mother lode trust to the subordinate trust or trusts, multiple. They take care of cutting the checks, not me, whoever that CEO is or somebody else in line. But it won't, you know, maybe a bank individual, but they won't know who it came from. So you maintain your anonymity, plus, but you're still doing the job you want to do.
Right. Okay. On top of that, if you use the management trust, it's a separate trust. You can hire somebody, call them the president. They don't need to know it's a trust.
Absolutely.
Now you have a president. He cuts all the checks. So there's a way around it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're on the same
Absolutely. Account. You're exactly correct.
But that's what I'm going to do is hire somebody to run my, not my mother-in-law trust, my management trust. I don't want to deal with that day-to-day stuff. That's not
correct.
My job.
And it would be good. It would be good. It would be good to have whoever is the check signer not have a name that is synonymous with your name.
Exactly.
Sure.
So what you do is
In other words, if you don't want your son or your daughter whose name is going to be recognized, then it doesn't take a bright person to figure out where it came from.
Right. So that's why you're going to hire a president
correct.
Or the management to write the checks because he's not affiliated with your family.
Correct. Or CEO.
Yeah. Yep.
CEO. So. Well, sir, another thing you missed, Jim, is we're going to be bringing on a big, well-known Big Eight accounting firm and an international law firm that specializes in banking. So someone within that mix, likely other than a banker, would be signing, and then they've got the professional responsibility not to tell anybody where the money came from.
That's sage advice, and that's what's going to be done. The only thing I can add to that is read your trust. It's in there.
That's
read
right.
your trust. It allows for a president. Remember, you're going to have multiple trusts. The management trust could have a CEO, president, however you want to state it. It's got the credibility to sign the checks, make it all warm and fuzzy and good stuff, which we all know is just hyperbole. And, you know, kind of like you got to dress for the occasion. Basically, you're going to use your trust in that way. The trust will do what it needs necessary to do in each circumstance. Sometimes it'll have to have a CEO sign the check. Sometimes it could be just anybody. But yeah, you need to build up. And I don't like getting caught too much up in the he said she said or any of this. Well, you know, look at that guy rolling the rules. Why he must be rich? Not really. Obviously. Anyway, excellent, Jim. Appreciate it. Sorry, I had to take a tank on you, but our system isn't working too well.
No, it's not, unfortunately. Jim, did you have anything to add to that? The other
no, basically, okay. we're saying the same thing. I just added another player.
Okay.
Other than the president, vice president, whatever.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't know that there's a professional organization you can go to and find people that hire themselves out as a non-resident to your city or state CEO, and they will assist you in performing those functions. And they have a lot of acumen that that most of us will not have to do what we're talking about doing. So they become, in my mind, a very valuable piece of the team.
I agree. Yeah. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And as a little note to Jim, that thing I was going to send you, I put it on the thumb drive, and it was too large, so I had to go get another thumb drive. I'll send it out tomorrow or Monday. You know what I'm talking about. It's too much paperwork. All right.
Yeah.
So
okay. Jim, we have another question?
All right.
Okay. And did you want to add to what we were just talking about? Or?
Nope. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, Cynthia.
Hey.
What's on your mind today?
What's that?
I say, what's on your mind today?
What's on my mind today was a lady that was on a call weeks ago who made a request about those of us who would be interested in being connected, having access to our contact information, and I would like that. And Jen had said he thought that was a great idea and that he would be formulating something. We would have access to those of us who are interested in networking in that way.
Yeah.
Well, the page is up. It's called III Members. This is the II Member page. If you want your contact information out to other members, email me at Security Indicator. I'm going to change that later today, and I'll have a special email address just for that. It'll be contacts or something like that at Indicator. Come back to that page. It's in the main menu, second line down, north from the left, from the right, rather. And it just says, an example, John Doe, East Coast time zone, phone, 123, yada, yada. It goes on. And then if you want to post it to the members, let me know. It'll be posted live here so people can come in. I have no problem doing this for folks. Just need to start doing it. It's set up. I set it up the day that, or the weekend that we talked about it. Nobody's participated yet. So I'll set up an email address on this, and it'll go to a special folder so I know what it's all about. So let me have the day to get that set up. And then I will put that email address on this page, III Members, on Indicator Information.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Thanks,
Cynthia. Yes. All right, Jim, that seems to be about it for now. What else would you like to talk about?
I want out of Oregon. Place to a zoo, I'm telling you. It's since this election, and just prior to the election, it got to be so bad around here. People come on our property. We have got no trespassing signs up everywhere. They just come up anyway. I had to run a couple of them off. It was just getting out of hand. And what it was is my brother, when he moved here, he registered to vote, and he used this address. And I found it interesting. Well, you haven't voted yet. How in the hell do you know?
Yeah, really?
So, I know. So that's what I asked the guy. I says, how the hell would you know? And he just walked off the property. It's very obvious that this election here in Oregon was tampered with. Now, I don't know about the rest of the country.
I think that's probably countrywide.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And, but so they become extremely, well, we should get off this, but they're becoming just extremely hard to get around, be around militants. It was a store, and there were just people arguing. It was crazy, absolutely crazy. Mm. So I need out of here. I wish whoever is in control of that thing called the RV, please push the button to get his new address. Okay, so everything else is on the website's working fine. I did add quite a bit of stuff to it. We do have a lot more minutes on there. I'm finishing up some of the temporaries that were down, getting all that stuff done. What else do we want to talk about? I don't have anything.
Yeah, I really don't either. I would make this comment. When you do receive your trust from us, don't just go sign it and put it away. Read it. Read all of it. You know, read the whole thing. As Vince says, read it once a week till you're familiar with it. Also, if there are any errors, you know, we're human. We do make errors. Let us know immediately. Don't come back 2 years later and say, oh, by the way, hopefully we won't still be doing this and waiting for this in 2 years. But my point is, read what you've got. Read till you learn it. Please proof it to see that all the information that you gave us is in its proper place. You have your correct successor trustees. You do not name your minor children as successor trustees unless you name an interim successor trustee. I mean, I had a client recently who named his 8 and 10-year-old. Well, that's not going to do them much good if he, God forbid, he kicks off between now and, you know, in the next 20 years. Those are just, it sounds like a little thing, but you got to pay attention to it. And the same thing that Jim Martin said about the name of whoever is going to be your CEO or is ever going to do, sign these other checks for you, et cetera, et cetera. You're looking for anonymity. That's why we always tell people when you name your trust, don't use a name that's already associated with you. Like you've got Little Elephant Boutique, you don't want to have Little Elephant Trust to that effect. You want something new. It doesn't have to mean anything. It could mean something to you. It's important to you that you get it. But it shouldn't be obvious to anybody else that this is your trust. Again, you're looking for anonymity and privacy, and the best way to do that is just make it so nobody knows who you are. So, well, that being said, it's about 10 minutes to the hour, and I don't really have anything to add. But Jim, you want to give your closing information?
Sure. I'm poor Jim stuck in Oregon. My number here is 866-341-6907 or 503-583-6791. I'm available between 9 and 6 Western Time, Monday through Friday. Best way to get a hold of me is by, if you need to get a hold of me, securityindicatorinformation.com. If you need to have a change, for an example, if you need a certificate of beneficial interest change or a successor trustee change minute, or a contract between Motherlode and the trust or other trust, or a copy of the abstract, or changes in the abstract, or change your email address for the conference call notifications, go to 3i Trust app and go look at the change request form. It's all in there. Just tick the box that works, tip one or two or three. You got a place down there to describe everything in detail, what you want to be done, and we will get it done. Other than that, I'm going to sit here till the RV and freeze my little butt off in Florida. I mean, in Oregon.
Okay, I won't tell you what the weather's like here today. Anyway, thank you all for your time and attention. My name is Carol Worlius. My number is 877-333-5018 or 206-915-4236. I'm available between 10 and 6 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. The best way to reach me is by email, info@indicatorinformation.com. Have a happy and safe weekend, everybody. Go RV, and God bless America. See you next time. Bye.